It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Phil Goff, eh?
G'day,
so,
Mikey. How
g'day,
are you?
G'day, Phil. Hey, so you've done it. You've come. You were shady about it the other week when we asked you. You wouldn't tell us. You wouldn't give us the scoop. But you've done it now. You kind of said, yes, I wish to be the mayor again.
Yeah.
Even though the thing gave you a heart attack. Even though people rag on you every single day.
Oh, look, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, Mikey.
That's true.
I did think long and hard about it. It is a pretty demanding job, and you know, my day started at about 4:20 yesterday morning and finished at 8:20 last night. But it is a job that is a privilege to do. You look at Auckland, you look at our city, and you say this is a fantastic place to live. But now, how can we tackle the challenges? How can we make this a better place to be? And I've started that process. I think we've made some good progress in the last 3 years, but we've still got a lot of hard work to do. And, you know, sometimes tempting, you look at the hard decisions you've got to make ahead of you and say, hey, I could walk away from that. That could be somebody else's problem. That's just not in my nature. I'm keen to have a crack at it again, and you know, then the decision's up to the electorate, and there'll be, you know, probably about 19 other candidates like there was last time, so there'll be plenty of choice. But it is demanding, but it gives you a lot of satisfaction when you can make a difference for the better for your city, and we've started things that I'd really like to see through.
One of the other candidates, John Tamahere, nice guy, John. You worked with him in the past.
Yep, I have worked with him in the past. I know him pretty well.
Calling you a government stooge.
Yeah, funny that, eh? I'm nobody's stooge, and I'm not going to enter into calling names to other candidates or personal abuse of other candidates.
Going to run relentlessly positive.
What you got to do in this game, and I think what the public expect you to do, is to say, hey, this is what my vision for the city is. This is what I want to do. These are the things that we're undertaking. These are the choices I've got, and this is the choice that I want to promote to you. And say what you stand for. Don't worry too much about criticising the other person. That's easy to do.
All right, so you come in and announce your candidacy with a 3.5% rate increase. Is that a vote winner, that one?
Look, we had a process last year. It was called a 10-year budget, and we collected all the information together, what needed to happen in Auckland, and there's massive, there's massive investment we've got to make, billions and billions of dollars into transport infrastructure, into improving our environment, into making sure we've got services for more housing. And then we went out and consulted with the public, and we went out and consulted on that figure of 3.5. I've kept rates down, as I promised to do, to 2.5 for the last 3 years. That's by far the lowest rate increase of any growth city or any metropolitan city across New Zealand, and indeed 3.5% in the out years would be as well. You know, you're looking at places like Hamilton. This year, I think they had about a 9.8% rate increase.
Right.
It's a growth city. They've got big challenges. And we consulted with Aucklanders. We got feedback from Aucklanders. Councillors voted on it, and overwhelmingly, they supported that as a realistic rate increase for the future. Not so high that it causes problems for people, but high enough to make sure that we can start to make a difference in the sort of services that people really rate and account as important for their lives in Auckland.
All right, let's talk about some of the things that have happened this week. What's the story about you dumping sludge out in the, the council okaying dumping sludge out in the Great Barrier, out in the Gulf?
Yeah, the dredgings from ports of Auckland are currently under statutory law and under process, being dumped outside our territorial limits off Great Barrier.
It's pretty pristine
ideal
out there, man.
Not ideal. I mean, you know, it's sludge from the ocean going back in the ocean, but
it's
would
sludge,
I rather,
nevertheless.
Would I rather have a better outcome for that? And the answer is yes. And I've asked council to examine a range of different alternatives where that sludge, you know, potentially could be used for landfill, where we think landfill of some areas is important. And
is the sludge is the sludge clean? Is it toxic, or what's the deal with it?
I can't give you an answer on that. I haven't seen the report on it. I'm imagining that if it's inshore sludge, there'll be some degree of pollution in it.
I'm also sticking plasters and stuff.
But what you know? What we did when we were creating a new park and reserve on Onehunga Bay.
I was there. I was walking on that reserve just 2 days ago.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's really beautiful.
Absolutely fantastic. That used to be a mud flat on the side of a motorway that nobody went near, and now we've got birds nesting there.
It's a real show pony, that one.
Yeah, and you know, so I've asked council to look at things like, hey, you know, maybe that's the sort of reserve that we could extend around to Onehunga Wharf. Let's, you know, no decision's been made on that.
Oh, you have plenty of helicopters going up over anyway.
not much thought's been given to it, but let's have a look at what some of those alternative options could be, because we could use that sludge in a more environmentally sensitive way if we could find alternatives. At the moment, they can't find alternatives. That's why they're dumping it there.
It's amazing that at the moment, with all the things like that dumping on there, the water quality of the Concert of Eden Park sort of thing, we've talked about that in the past, the new water interceptor, the underground rail that's going through, and that the thing that the council are really taking time out to vote about is banning fireworks.
It wasn't a big deal.
What are you up to, pal?
It wasn't a big deal. A couple of councillors this time last year put up a motion. We don't ban fireworks, by the way. We don't have that power. That's a central government power. A couple of councillors last year said, hey, we think that the problems around fireworks are greater than the benefits that we get from the private sale of them, and we would like council to make submissions to central government on it. And what a number of us said at that time, well, hey, before we make submissions to central government on fireworks, hadn't we better find out what Aucklanders think about this? Because we're a council.
I just don't get why it's so high on the list of things that council worries about.
It isn't high on the list, and it was one paper in one committee and took up very little of our time. But we went out and we asked for submissions on it. There were 8,000 submissions made, so that was a big level of public interest in it, and an overwhelming.
So, as someone who speaks to you every week and loves fireworks, how come I didn't know that you're asking for submissions on it?
All advertised on, all done online, and 8,000 people did and replied on it. And the good thing about those replies, they weren't standardised replies. They weren't organised by any particular lobby group. They were individual replies.
And I know people hate them.
You know, this came as a bit of a surprise to me. I've got to say, 89% of those submissions said, look, have public displays, but we don't want to see private sales of fireworks. And you know the big issue in all of that? The big issue was people who are pet owners that said our pets are absolutely petrified when the fireworks go off. And I had a lady stop me in the street, actually, out where I live, and she said, talked about how fireworks had gone off near one of her horses. The horse had run through a fence and impaled itself, and she just begged me, hey, please, the cost of this is too great. And overwhelmingly,
there is an argument, though, isn't it? And this is coming from someone, obviously, who's pro-fireworks. There is an argument that if we gave as much of a toss about alcohol, we would ban that 20 years ago. As far as things that damage the community and brutally cripple this city of ours, the city that you're the mayor of, something like alcohol is 1,000 times worse.
Something like
domestic violence is 1,000 times worse. These are things that people aren't prepared to submit stuff about that. People aren't prepared to care about that.
Let's just talk about that. Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. The social costs of alcohol abuse far, far, far outweigh any costs of fireworks.
They cripple the city.
And that's why council has come out, and it's now taking it through the appeal process for restrictions on things like opening of off licences. You know,
yeah, but
I'd like to see restricted hours. You know, when people go out at 11:30 at night to buy alcohol, you know they've already had a hell of a lot of it, and the extra alcohol's not going to do good to anybody.
When you've got a guy who's already been involved in the brutal attack of a dairy owner, I think someone died, and he not only killed them, but he was one of the seven people who was involved. Beat some guy to death in the middle of Queen Street on a Friday night because he got shot with a water pistol. This guy was sentenced on, I think it was end of last week.
Yeah.
Beat him to death with his fists after drinking something like 26 RTDs.
Yeah.
Before he went out, then you've got a massive problem.
Yeah.
And that's just a thing that happened in Auckland. You know,
look, here's another massive problem we've got. You know, 64 people died from synthetic cannabis last year.
Yeah, there's another one.
Banned.
Or homelessness, or blah, blah, blah.
Banned.
The fact I know it sounds like I'm sticking up for fireworks here, but I'm also trying to highlight there's other issues and things like...
Of course there are, and far more important issues.
Yeah.
But let's get this in context. This is an issue. People do write to me about it. I've got mixed feelings about it. You know, I used to love it when we went down to Eastern Beach on Guy Fawkes Night and burnt the guy on the beach. And
so you're not allowed to do that,
fireworks.
Actually.
So I've got all of those memories, and I've got those sort of cross pressures saying, hey, I don't want to, you know, I don't particularly want to stop people have fun doing anything. But my job, I think, on an issue like this, which is a sort of a conscience issue, it's not a political issue, I got to listen to what the people of Auckland were telling me, and they were telling me very loud and clear, hey, we're happy to have Mapatini fireworks, we're happy to have Diwali and Chinese New Year, but we don't want to see private sales, and we don't want to see, you know, fireworks going off in the backyard. And I think there has been a public opinion shift on that, Mikey.
Yep.
And you know, in this instance, putting aside my personal positive memories of what we did as kids and the fun that we had, and even with my own kids, I've got to listen to what people of Auckland are saying, and then we convey that to Wellington. Wellington makes the decision. Wellington has indicated to us that they're not at the point where they want to make that decision. Maybe
they want to lose votes.
Well, maybe a member of parliament will raise it as a member's bill in parliament. It's a legitimate debate. There's
I agree. I know it upsets a lot of people, but those people need to know that there's other things that upset other people as well.
Yeah, sure,
let's give a cheer to the fact that in the last 10 years, the last fireworks evening is the least fire service call-outs in 10 years.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know,
that means the message is getting through. Safety first, folks.
Yeah. And, you know, look, I don't regard it just as about risk. Yeah, look, sure, there are injuries out of fireworks, but if you want to avoid risk, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning. You know, that's the truth of it. It's got to be calculated. And, you know, look, every state in Australia, I think, apart from the Northern Territory and Tasmania...
place is a tinderbox, though, that's why.
Yeah, they've stopped private sales, and I think I understand the reason for that, you know, that place is so tinder dry. And it does create work for our emergency services, and when I talk to the fire service people and the volunteers out there, they say, God, we could do without this, you know, it just makes our life hell on that night and unfortunately other nights because people don't just let their crackers off on November the 5th. So, look, line ball call, but the people have spoken, and I'll back up that level of public opinion, and then in the end, the government makes a decision, and whether they'll make a decision, it looks pretty unlikely that they will ban it, but they will at least hear the voice of the people of Auckland, because we'll convey it to them.
There's a school in Howick a few weeks ago announced it's going to have to spend a whole bunch of millions on the fact that because there's a leaky building. And I see the Auckland City Council is going to pay out another $350 million for leaky buildings. This is such a blight on this country, isn't it? And it suggests that people were still building leaky buildings even after we knew about leaky buildings.
Yeah. Look, a lot of these problems go back a decade, two decades. And I think the total amount that that Auckland Council has spent or provisioned is $600 million. And boy, could I use that $600 million for lots of other more positive things?
You know, I could use just half of one of those millions.
You know what the problem, Mikey, is you try to find the developers. You know, who's primarily responsible? The person that put the bloody place up and did a shoddy job of putting it up or used bad materials. You try all to the, find those
all,
people.
All the people that gave consent, or the architect, the person that sold the material, the people that gave consent, the built, yeah, everybody involved. That's what freaks me out about this. Building.
And then people say, "Oh God, you guys are hard on the building consents. You know why you're so picky? Hey, we're picky because we carry the risk. If you do a bad building and we consent it, we carry the risk. This country couldn't afford it again, Phil.
We couldn't. This country would go broke if that happened again."
I hope we've learned the lessons, and part of it was some bad regulation from central government at the time where they changed the regulations. There were products like monolithic cladding. That was bad news. Some of the multi-unit blocks, that's what we're dealing with at the moment. So it means that we've got to be incredibly cautious. What we're trying to do, here's one of the answers. What we're trying to do in talking with government is saying, you know, instead of this bloody liability falling on the ratepayer, because that's all who is left to pay it, because everybody else has disappeared, why don't we have a liability insurance scheme, a bit like, again, they do across the Tasman and many of the Australian states. So people have got to have liability insurance, and the cost of any repair work that occurs, you know, in the first 10 years after the building is built, is out of that insurance cover. And the government has undertaken to look at that for us. But that would mean that the ratepayer's not always the underwriter of everything that goes wrong, and it would also mean that the cost would fall on the people. I suppose it would fall on the people for whom the houses are being built. But at least you'd have that insurance that would cover the cost of the remedial work.
Phil Goff, thank you so much for talking to us, and good luck in your running for re-election in the mayoralty.
Thanks, Mikey. And we'll talk again next week.
We surely will. Thank you very much.
Okay. Cheers, mate. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.